Also, the issue of certification by global institute, because although the good news is that we've really gone a long way now to achieve that level, and one day wipe it out by July. Because one certificate not issued is an injustice to the student who has actually paid. I also want to emphasize this thing of systemic issues that also the committee will have to look into. Because we tend sometimes to talk of the budget in relation to increasing access, numbers, demographics, which is very important, and infrastructure. But we also need to look at systemic challenges as well. Because you can increase numbers, but if you do not address, for instance, issues of capacity, say, in TVET colleges, that would not be sustainable. So it's important that we also look into that. I have already spoken about really the need for TVET college funding, infrastructure development, maintenance, as well as other systemic issues. Our revised strategic plan for and the 2017-18 AP that we are presenting today is meant to take the department to the next level as we move towards the end of this administration. Let me move towards ending by just highlighting fairly quickly, Chair, so that I do not take all the time, because there is a presentation that will be still going to be given that gives details. Some of the priorities in the 2017-18 MTF period includes the following. The one I've already spoken on, funding for TVET colleges. But the other priority is for us to finalize the national plan for post-school education and training, which is about implementing the white paper and the NDP. And our another priority is that of developing and publishing regulations to enable the implementation of the Higher Education Amendment Act, specifically regulations for the scope and range of the three institutional types now within higher education, that is your traditional universities, your university colleges, and higher education colleges. Our other priority is also to develop processes to ensure the integration of agricultural, nursing, and other public colleges under the governance of other national and provincial departments into the post-school education and training system as national competences governed under the higher education and training legislation. This is a big issue, this, because if there is one real thing that South Africa needs, is an expanded, hugely expanded college sector, which is also diversified, in order to provide opportunities, especially for the provision of mid-level skills. Our other priority is introducing revised budgeting, enrollment, and strategic planning processes in colleges. As well as to develop common standards for governance, management, and leadership to provide the department with a framework for monitoring and evaluation of the quality of governance in TVET colleges. Another matter that may look small, but it's important as a priority, is provision of clarity on the role of SITA offices in TVET colleges, as well as the development of appropriate programs of industry. For instance, this financial year, DG, is it? That the National Skills Fund, for instance, has given colleges 2.3 billion rand to support them in development of programs and so on. So those are some of the things that we will need to be prioritizing. How do we make sure that money does does what it's supposed to do. We need to, another priority is to secure additional sites, that is physical infrastructure and resources for the establishment of the pilot community education and training colleges, and ensuring the functionality of the 9 community education and training colleges. You will be discussing NSFAS this afternoon. What we want to say on our side is that our priority is still providing funding for the marginalized, poorer students, and expanded financial assistance and support model to fund your academically deserved students, especially from the poor working class and your lower middle classes. Of course, this year is important also because the Hare Commission, battle of the pronunciation of this name, I'm told it's the Hare Commission. We hope that its recommendations and government's response will provide once and for all finality to the issue of student funding. Honorable chairpersons and honorable members, let me conclude by saying we welcome being engaged on this as a department. We also welcome constructive critique, which also enriches our work. And with your guidance, which we feel is always very important, to also help us do our work better. The presentation will be led by the DG, assisted by senior management of the department, which now, with your permission, Chair, can go back to my seat and for the DG and the team to lead the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, with your permission, let's hand over to the DG, who will then assist us in how the rest of the presentation will be done. Would you like to join us also, DG? You have the pole in front. You have a pillar in front of you. And yes.
Thank you very much, Chairs, the Minister of Higher Education and Training, honorable members, and my colleagues in the department as well as in the ministry. Just perhaps as a way of background, as a department in 2014, we adopted the new strat plan, which was covering the 5-year period from 2015-16 to 2019-20 financial years. So the compilation was anchored on the vision and imperatives of the white paper as well as MTP and medium-term strategic framework when we developed. So what we said there at that stage was that the post-school education and training system needs to be an integrated system for it to better respond to the needs of the country and the challenges that were identified in the white paper thereof and other important pieces of work that we're doing. And we also said that the department must provide the necessary in 2016-17 financial year. So the 2016-17 financial year marks exactly 2 years since the department's 2015 to 2020 strategic plan was tabled in Parliament. Now, as a department, in preparation for 2017-18 financial year, we had to review the department's strat plan, and also acknowledging that in the same review, whilst there's still a lot that remains to be done, the review has revealed that the department has made significant progress in a number of areas. For instance, the prioritization of funding for the marginalized with a view of expanding and strengthening the post-school distance education as well as the landscape, and ensuring that the accessibility to the system as a whole is also afforded to all South Africans, including those who are somewhat disabled. We have introduced a new institutional type, which is the community education and training colleges, with the primary objective of promoting education and training opportunities for those young people who cannot access universities or TVET colleges. We have established, to that extent, 9 community education and training colleges in all 9 provinces of the country. We have, in order to ensure that we give effect to operationalization of those developments, we established a branch to provide the dedicated focus for the CET sector in the country. We've also seen the transfer of TVET colleges from provincial departments of education to the national competence. We're at an advanced stage with regard to the development of the national policy framework for disability within the post-school education and training institutions. And we've also revised National Qualifications Framework Act. And to that extent, we've finalized as well the policy on the recognition of prior learning, known as RPL. So the lifespan of CETAS has been extended to 31st March 2020, including the National Skills Development Strategy 3, in order to allow quality engagement with stakeholders on the future of our skills development system beyond 2020. We have seen in the process vigilant performance from the system during the 2015 academic year, particularly from the university sector. We know that, for instance, graduates in most of the scarce skills areas has been increasing quite tremendous. We have surpassed the target for engineering graduates by 1,958 graduates. More than what we have targeted for 2015 academic year. Also, the natural and physical science graduates, we have surpassed the targets by 659 graduates, more than the target we have set for the same academic year. The new teachers as well, we stand at 19,120 four new teachers, surpassing the target by 1,224 graduates in respect to the targets that we set. In as much as there are such improvements in the system, we however acknowledge the challenges that still remain. For instance, we have a wave of student protests, mainly in universities, on some of the fundamental issues confronting the PSET system, such as transformation, funding, and student accommodation shortfall. in January 2017, SAFESA, an association of students at TVET colleges, they've also embarked on a shutdown in respect to some demands they were making. For instance, the backlog in certification, incomplete resulting from November 2016 examinations, lack of infrastructure, the non-expansion of enrollments, and other few areas. Whilst these concerns are legitimate, the department has been able to attend to the matters under their control, especially the finalization of the November 2016 results. The department, however, is unable to attend to the demand for additional voted funds for the sector. As the minister has actually explained the veracity of the situation in respect to this sector. The establishment of the Presidential Commission with a view of investigating the feasibility of fee-free higher education and training whose outcomes are envisaged for in mid 2017. It has been established, and I think almost every one of us has made presentations in the commission by invitation, and others volunteered to go and make presentations and inputs there, which everybody was actually welcomed. Government has further committed to finding the resources to support children of poor working as well as middle class families, those with a household income up to 600,000 per annum, with a grant to cover the gap between the 2015 fee and the adjusted 2017 fee at their institutions across the country. Now, with respect to system performance, for the first time, the university sector has not grown in accordance with the ministerial enrollment targets for two academic years, that is 2014 and 2015. And the decline is in the vicinity of 30,000 and 34,000 respectively. And in the main, it's UNISA that has actually contributed to the decline, because in the process, they had to review their selection processes and placement to programs of students in order to improve throughput rate. And one of the things they've discovered is that they've actually been opening up without scrutinizing the fit for purpose in respect to allowing registration by students in various respective fields of study. So they had to improve those processes, which actually resulted into quite a number of students who intended to study, but not in relevant areas as the institution has constructed, had to fall by the wayside. So this decline in the main is as a result of those processes at UNISA, not necessarily affecting other institutions in the system. I thought it's important to emphasize that. The TVET college sector enrolled 14,465 less enrollments in 2015 than the targeted 725,000. Preliminary figures also show that enrollments in 2016 are below target, and I think the minister has actually addressed this matter and the reasons thereof. The certification rates in NCV level 4, N3, as well as N6 programs offered by TVET colleges are constantly below target as a result of the poor quality of provision in the sector due to insufficient funding, limited resources, including infrastructure in TVET colleges. But we also admit that there are also human inefficiencies in some respects that we are aggressively attending as a department. certain levels of incompetencies, for instance, as well as poor performance culture, of which there are measures in place at the present moment to actually attend to all those areas. And when that focus is actually given in addressing those areas and those challenges at a subjective level, we have seen quite dramatic improvements in quite a number of areas. The certification backlog, approximately 233,000 of the 236,000 outstanding certificates for the National Certificate Vocational, that is NCV qualifications on offer at TVET colleges, have been processed and released thus far. So the number forms part of the NCV certificate backlog dating as far back as November 2007. Our strategic trust in respect to the revised strat plan 2015 to 2020 will continue to focus on the provision of a sound legislative framework, appropriate teaching and learning, support infrastructure development, and the promotion of strong stakeholder network, as earlier indicated. In particular, the department aims to strengthen its oversight of TVET colleges in terms of the required steering mechanisms and teaching and learning support. For instance, review of TVET qualifications, review of curricula within the TVET system, the review of the examination system and conduct policy for NCV, as well as improving learning assessment services in TVET colleges. All those areas are receiving our adequate attention at the present moment. The targets in the medium-term strategic framework that are currently not funded have also been reviewed. I think it's important to bring this to the attention of the committees. For instance, the foundation program in TVET colleges, student accommodation in TVET colleges, because there are no budgetary allocations in respect to these areas. As a result, the APP has no targets related to these areas. Number of TVET students enrolled in foundation programs, success rate in foundation programs, the number of additional beds for students' accommodation in public colleges as well. So the following targets have been reduced as a way of emphasis, of course. Headcount enrollments in TVET colleges, certification rates in NCV level 4 and N3 as well. Because, as the minister has emphasized, we are not funding adequately in respect to the students at the TVET college sector. We are funding them at about 54% instead of 80%, which is required, which is causing a bit of a strain in terms of the colleges being able to harness and support their program through their operations at the TVET colleges. But this is a matter which is receiving our attention the best we can, and also the request that we would really rely on the support and initiatives that the portfolio committees may actually be looking at, which is within their power, amongst other things. We'll turn then at this stage to the budget structure of the department, of which I will ask the CFO to actually take us through this area, so that in rands and cents, what is the amount in respect to the shortfall after the allocations for this financial year by the National Treasury and government as a whole. I suppose you should come this side, please, as well, according to the instruction of the chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Let's go to the CFO.
Honourable Minister, Chairpersons, members, colleagues, On slide 13, we show the 6 programs of the department, emphasizing the key deliverable areas of the department, especially from Program 3, University Education, then our TVETs, Skills Development, and the CETs. If you look at the funding of the department, we thought it good just to provide you a short overview if we look at the budget review of National Treasury based on the budget tabled by the Minister of Finance during February. So if we first look at the growth of the post-school education and training sector, and we include the skills levy, we see that the growth there is 9.2% over the 2017 MTF. And this is the second largest growth percentage after debt service costs, which means that, in fact, the department and the post-school education and training sector receives the highest growth of all departments and functions within government. If you look at the next slide, we reflect on some of the spending patterns compared to various consolidated spending items within government. Now, the first line reflects the E&E allocation of the department, the 68.9 billion for the first year, going up to 83.7 billion in the third year. And you'll see that the year-on-year growth reflects a sharp increase in the second year of 14.06%, and it slows down again in the third year to 6.53%. The reason for that is the increase for the 8% cost of the fees for universities and TVET colleges, which we are substituting to those institutions. In the second or third line then, we reflect the department's allocation, but for the first year we include, although it's not voted funds, we included the NSF set of funds that are actually used to fund for 2017-18 the 8% fee cap. Therefore, we reflect it as 73.9 billion in the first year. You see the second and third year remains unchanged. It just shows you that if we do that, the increase would have been in the first year, not in the second year, 14%, and then the increase that slows down over the rest of the MTF to 6.35 and 6.53%. It does reflect that there is a slight increase in the allocation between the second and the third year. The GDP is reflected there. We have, as percentage of GDP, also seeing in the first and second year 1.45 going up to 1.53%, but you see that there is a slight decline in the third year to 1.51%. A similar trend would be seen if we look at consolidated government expenditure, although there is an increase in the third year from 7.29 to 8.18%, the department's percentage of that declines slightly from 4.69 to 4.62%. And the same trend would be seen in total education expenditure as well as total national government expenditure, where in the third year you'll see we decrease from 9.57 to 9.32%. Okay, if we go to the next slide, it's just an indication, as it is explaining what it will happen on slide 17, how we distribute the budget within the department. We have the total voted funds, 68.9 billion. We take out the direct charges, the skills levy to CETAS and the NSF, on which we'll focus a bit later, which give us the balance of voted funds of 52.3 billion. If we then take out all our transfers, which is a substantial and the biggest portion of the budget, to universities, to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, our public entities, our TVET colleges, and the CET sector, a few small others, as well as compensation of employees, which is 8.4 billion, we see that the total balance available for operations after our earmarked funds of 64 million is 366 million rand. Now, that is the picture for 2017-18. If you look at slide number 17, we see that it reflects the percentage of funding within the vote of all these functions, and we do highlight a few specific ones. First of all, if we look at university funding, you see that on average it's around 59% across the 3 years, with a slight decline in the third year. If we look at the GDP percentage, which is not indicated on that slide, the university sector receives approximately 0.93% in the first year, and it goes up to 1.03% in the third year. The TVET college sector, there we have currently the percentage funding within the department as 12.8%. It goes up to reach in 2019-20 12.88%, which is a slight increase in contradiction to what happened in the university sector. The GDP percentage funding of TVET colleges in the first year is 0.19%, which is extremely low, as already reflected earlier, and it goes up to, fortunately, 0.23% in the third year. The other big funding is for CET colleges, which is approximately 2.7% across all 3 years, and those three sectors already constitutes 75% of the total budget of the department. The next big funder would be the skills levy, which is reflected as the second last on the table, which is approximately 22.5%, and in total a 2.5% contribution within the total budget, or sorry, 22.5% contribution within the total budget. That leaves us with 2.5% for all the other functions of the department. Of that, I think important to note, our examination services only receive around 0.4%. In Lela, which is also a very important function, receives only 0.1%, and the normal operations, including compensation, only 1.4%. If you look at then at the skills levy specifically, as you know, the department's budget includes the skills levy, which is a direct charge, which means it's a direct commitment against the National Revenue Fund, and it can only be used for that purpose. Now, over the NTEF, the skills levy increases with an average rate of 8%, and it reaches 19.5 billion in 2019-20. The baseline allocation for the skills levy, however, despite this increase, reduces substantially with 10.9 billion rand over the NTEF. And that is basically as a result of lower than expected skills levy contributions as determined by National Treasury. Now, if you look at the second bullet on slide number 19, over the MTF, you'll see then the allocations for the 3 years, 16.6 billion for the first year, 17.9 billion for the second year, 19.4 billion for the third year. And it is there indicated the SETA portion as well as the NSF portion being the 80-20 distribution thereof. In terms of the department's own budget trends from slide 20 onwards, firstly, if we exclude the skills levy, we see that our annual average increase over the MTF is 9.4%. Now, perhaps just to clarify, you would have seen that in the first or second slide that I presented, that the post-school education and training sector increases with 9.2% if you look at the budget review of National Treasury, but note that that includes the skills levy and it includes all post-school education and training within government. So therefore a slight smaller increase there, In terms of our own voted funds, 9.4%, and we reached then 64.3 billion in the third year. If we look at the allocation for 2017-18, it amounts to 52.3 billion, and it remains dominated by Program 3, our university education program, which includes the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, which is then around 82% of the total budget. Normal departmental services, Chair, is around 8.855 billion, but of that, our personnel expenditure, or as indicated in the E&E, the compensation of employees, amounts to 8.425 billion rand, which constitutes 95% of our normal operational expenditure. The other operational activities of the department must then be funded from a total amount of 429.5 million rand. And that includes 63 million that is earmarked by National Treasury specifically for our accommodation costs and our normal rates and taxes. The compensation of the department on slide number 22 is distributed mainly between TVET colleges, which is a very large portion, CET colleges, thereafter our normal departmental compensation, and then examiners and moderators. Now, it is important to note here as well that although examiners and moderators are currently budgeted at a level of around 137.5 million rand, the actual expenditure on examiners and moderators over the past few years reflected a much higher amount, and we have been in the fortunate situation that the NSF supported us with that increase in our costs for examiners and moderators. And when we deal with the annual report later in the year, we will emphasize this matter and provide you with actual numbers again. So colleagues and chairpersons, honorable members, we actually have a very limited budget that we must survive with. In total, approximately 365 million rand, and that includes examination services, as indicated in the last bullet, 95.7 million rand, our operations at Indlela, 10.8 million rand, and then for the remainder of the department, including our regional presence, 259 million rand. The next slide reflects the baseline adjustments that we received, that is our additional allocations over the MTF period, and that is mainly in the area of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme for 2018-19 as well as 2019-20 for the unfunded universities students from the 2016 academic year. Now, for those 2 years in total, approximately 5.3 billion rand. And then also the 8% fee increase compensation to the universities as well as to the TVET colleges. For the universities, 5.4 billion over the 2 years, and for the TVET colleges, 347 million over the 2 years. The impact of the 8% fee increase for the 2017 academic year, which means that it is for the current financial year, 2017-18, is funded through reprioritization of funds within the PZ system and is therefore not voted funds. It's important to note, as we indicated in that third slide that we dealt with, that these monies are from the NSF and CETA surpluses, and we do not reflect it within the budget. The amounts applicable totaling 4.988 billion rand, you can see there for NSFAS, 2.3 billion, universities 2.5 billion, and the TVET colleges 158 million rand. Now, we provisionally, and I think this is an important point to note, received an additional 5 billion rand in the third year of the MTEF, 2019-20. This amount has not been allocated to the department. So although the Minister of Finance mentioned it, you would see it in the budget review, specifically pages 52 to 54, highlighting this 5 billion rand. The amount must still be finally allocated, and there is at this point also no security that it will be allocated, but it has been provisionally secured for the post-school education and training sector, so we just thought we wish to highlight that. It is therefore not included in the budget currently. It's not voted funds. You will not see it in the E&E. Taking into account the cost containment measures of government, we also received, like all other government departments, some baseline reductions, and those are reflected on slide number 25. In total, 8.4, almost 8.5 million in the first year, 8.6 million in the second year, and 9.7 million in the third year, all of which are already included in the amounts allocated and distributed within the department. Chairperson, slide number 26 and 27 provides an indication of the distribution of the budget between programs and between our economic classifications. On slide number 26, just to highlight once again, the three big programs, university education, TVET and CET, which is, if you exclude the skills levy, 98.7 on average over the MTF period of the total budget. In terms of slide number 27, you can see there that the transfer payments totally dominates the budget, and thereafter compensation of employees, which mainly includes the compensation for the TVET sector. On slide number 28, because transfer payments are such a big portion of the budget, we just indicate on slide number 28 how the transfers are distributed between the various areas within the department. First of all, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Just important to note that in 2016-17, you'll see that it was 11.4 billion rand. In 2017-18, it looks like there's a major decline to 10.1 billion rand. Now, just to clarify, in the 2016-17 financial year, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme received a once-off allocation for debt service costs based on historic debt, which means that it actually 2.5 billion of that 11.3 billion for that year was a once-off amount. And therefore it looks like a decline, but in fact there is an increase. The same when we look at the ETDPC CETL training contribution, looks like there is a major decline from 2016-17 to 2017-18. That is as a result of a once-off 32.7 million rand in 2016-17, specifically for TVET College lecturer training. Now that amount has been transferred to the TVET colleges. There are specific programs which is monitored by the department at the branch that will happen over the next 2 to 3 years. Okay, on the next slide, and those will be the last two slides on the finance side, just to reflect on some of the key cost pressures of the department as indicated there, budget pressures that we face. Although we received quite a substantial fiscal injection, we must emphasize that that was mainly for fee increases, mainly for universities and a small portion for TVET colleges. There are still various service delivery requirements that we cannot address. Important to note that, as indicated previously, you'll see that we cannot attain the growth requirements of the enrollments within the system. Also, the infrastructure development, especially in our TVET colleges, remains a serious problem, as well as the increased operations, especially at TVET colleges, and our own student support services, and at institutional level. There are three targets in the IPP that are not funded, which are reflected. You will see that specifically. Pages number 56 and 57 in the strategic plan highlight those. Student accommodation, specifically also in the TVET sector, lecturer industry exposure, and the TVET Foundation programs with a link also then to the success rate of that. In addition, there are also some limitations in our departmental operations. We cannot roll out our new structure, which is a desperate need, especially to ensure appropriate regional presence, and also our examination services, which require additional funding to perform everything that they are required to do. Now, if you only look at departmental operations, we talk an estimated amount of at least 1.5 billion per year to increase our departmental operations. That includes not only additional posts, it includes various support services, it includes aspects such as the National Autism Moderation Body, which is currently funded through the NSF, and various other functions in the department where we fully rely on the NSF. For examination services, we talk approximately 700 million rand per year if the examination services wants to perform all the required activities, including the monitoring of examination centers. Also, the increased amount that we currently pay through the NSF for examiners and moderators, which is close to 200 million rand additional per year. Grant monitoring and evaluation remains a key risk within the department. There are quite a number of dedicated grants, such as at the university side, the specific grant for infrastructure development. You think of all the other grants, such as for research. And all these grants need proper monitoring and evaluation, but the department unfortunately do not have sufficient funds to do it properly. We focus on the critical areas and we ensure that we perform as much as possible. As indicated already, we heavily rely on the NSF, for example, the National Autism Moderation Body. We think of the funding for the Higher Education AIDS program within the TVET sector that is currently funded through the NSF, and that negatively also impacts on the activities of the NSF, especially if we look at autism development within the NSF. Those funds have to be redirected for other services. Chairpersons, honorable members, that is for the finance part. The next portion would be the various programs and the indication of what is in the APPs of each program. I'll hand back to you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the CFO. Let's get to the, I think this is the last section.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. I'm going to be presenting the planned performance of the six programs of the department, program one up to program six, beginning with the two support programs, being the administration as well as the planning branch, followed by the delivery branches. Now, if we look at slide one, this is the reflection of what the program one, is comprised of in terms of the strategic objectives planned for the next MTEF. Program one has three, and the aim is to ensure that there's effective human resource management within the department, but also ensuring that there's effective financial management practices through the application of good financial management systems, including management accounting, financial accounting and supply chain management, but also to improve ICT services. In terms of deliverables, in slide 32, the program will maintain the six programs that were originally planned in the original strategic plan, one being to fill 90% of approved positions. And you will notice there that in 2015, we were at 93.1% in terms of filling the approved positions. Now, the intention is to maintain 5% at minimum, but would love to actually go beyond 90% as happened in 2015. Also to reduce the average number of days to fill an advertised post. It currently takes 221 days as at the 2015-16 financial year. The plan is to reduce that to 180 days. Also, we are currently able to resolve 47% of cases, disciplinary cases that have been reported within 90 days. The plan is to resolve in the next MTF 100% of all disciplinary cases reported within 90 days. Also, in terms of paying creditors, the plan is to ensure that we pay all creditors or invoices received from creditors within 30 days. We're also planning for a clean audit by the end of the period covered by the strategic plan. But currently, due to challenges in respect to performance information, particularly in respect to TVET colleges, we plan to progressively move to clean audit. And for the financial year in question, 2017-18, we're planning for an unqualified audit. We're also planning to improve organizational ICT services. Now, in terms of slide 33, I'm not going to go through all of that, but these are the initiatives that have been planned in program one to ensure that all those targets are being met, mainly to ensure that these conducive environment for the department be able to achieve those targets. The example being ensuring that we finalize the human resource plan by the first quarter of this current financial year, but also to ensure that there's a plan to improve HR recruitment and selection processes so that we are able to fill positions within 180 days. In terms of slide 34, that is program two, another support branch. The aim of which is to ensure that there is proper development, implementation, and monitoring of departmental policies, but also HRD strategy for South Africa. This program has five objectives, focusing on the development of appropriate steering mechanisms, effective oversight within the PSET system, but also the implementation of teaching and learning support, student support services, as well as ensuring that there's proper information management systems in the system. Deliverables linked to these strategic objectives in slide number 35. One is the development of steering mechanisms. About three of them will be developed in the 17-18 financial year, one being the policy on policy framework on disability, the submission of the revised National Qualifications Framework Bill to Parliament for formalization, but also in order to influence program provision within the system, publishing of the list of occupations in high demand. This program is also responsible for providing oversight over the entire system, as indicated earlier on. And for that, the program has planned to produce five oversight reports by the end of the financial year, covering social inclusion implementation, open learning, as well as career development services within the PSET system. But also reflecting on the status of international relations in respect to post-school education and training, as well as the report on the investment trends in PSET. Slide number 36. As indicated, the program will be institutionalizing career development services, hence the report on career development services, but also developing a community communication strategy for student support services. with the introduction of the community education training colleges, the need to have an appropriate information management system for the subsector, and this financial year we see the design of that of the system, so that we are able to store and collate information information in relation to the subsector. But also the deliverable, the last deliverable will be the publication of the annual statistics on post-school education and training at the end of the financial year. Members, the deliverables as mentioned in the APP, you will notice that they are quarterly targets, which are meant to be milestones towards the completion of these outputs. So on a quarterly basis, we will provide a progress report in respect to how far we have gone. Slide number 37 talks to program 3, which is responsible for the university sector. This program has 7 objectives, also focusing on the development of appropriate steering mechanisms for the university sector in particular, ensuring that there's integrated planning so as to ensure that there's collaboration within the PSET subsystems, but also implementation of oversight instruments within the higher education institutions, provision of teaching and learning support services in slide number 38, but also in order to promote the success of students within the system, provision of student support services within the system. The program will also be annually providing management information and statistics on the performance of higher education and institutions. You will see later on in terms of the targets, we will be providing the expected performance of the system, particularly the university sector, and on the basis of which the program will be monitoring and reporting progress. Slide number 39, the deliverables are as follows in terms of the 2017-18 financial year. Development of new steering mechanisms as indicated. One being the Central Application Service Policy, which is planned to be finalized by the 30th of September 2017. Policy framework on collaboration between professional bodies, government departments, and policy councils, as well as the review of the NASFAS Act, which will be submitted to Parliament for promulgation before the end of the financial year. As the Minister indicated earlier on, the other deliverable is to ensure that we finalize the national plan for PSET, which is the plan for the implementation of the white paper. In slide 40, the program has planned to produce 15 oversight reports covering within the financial year the performance of this university subsystem in relation to higher education aid program for the 16-17 financial year, the financial health of universities in the 2015 academic year, and the effective use of various grants covering your foundation provision grants, teaching development grant, research development grant, as well as research outputs of universities. In slide 41, there are also various reports that will be produced in terms of the implementation of various programs covering Staffing South Africa University Framework, Student Leadership Capacity Development Program, as well as the use of the new universities EMI grant. The last deliverable is a report, an updated report on a court study report on higher education, including the 2016 Odyssey data by 31 March 2018. Slide 42, Chairs, relates to the planned targets of the system, which will be monitored by the university branch you will notice that it reflects all the 12 systemic targets that are reflected in the medium-term strategic framework. Firstly, being the enrollments of students in universities. Current baseline in terms of the 2015 academic year, the universities enrolled 985,215. The plan is to have 995,000 during the 2016 academic year. Now, as Minister indicated earlier on, in relation to scarce skills, the system has shown some improvement, and because of that, you will notice that from the graduates in engineering up until the initial teacher education from universities, that's number one, number two, up to five, there are moderate increases in terms of the blend targets. Also, in terms of the doctoral graduates, there is a blend 2,700 for the 2016 academic year from the baseline of 2,530. Success rates remain the same at 78%. The success rate in terms of undergraduate contact, undergraduate distance also remain the same at 83% and 68% respectively. But the number of universities offering accredited TVET college lecturer qualifications, we are expecting to have only one in 2016 academic year university accredited to offer TVET college qualifications. The percentage of university academic staff with PhDs will increase by only 1% from 44% in 2015 to 45% in 2016. Number of additional first-time entrants in slide number 44 will remain around 100, from 102 in 2015 to 100 in the 2016 academic year. The number of students in foundation programs will increase from 17,977 to 18,500. And in terms of number of eligible university students obtaining financial aid from NASFAS, the current baseline performance is 178,000, and it is expected that at least 205,000 would have been given financial assistance at a minimum. Slide number 45, that's program 4, Technical and Vocational Education and Training. This is a program that is responsible for TVET colleges. It has six strategic objectives, also covering steering mechanisms, oversight instruments, teaching and learning support, student support services, infrastructure development, as well as ensuring that there is strong TVET college network in the system. The related targets in slide number 46 are as follows: the development of policies for the TVET sector. Members would notice that in the strat plan, there is an increase in terms of the focus of the department's oversight over the TVET colleges, and for that, the number of deliverables for this particular program have increased, such that there's going to be a lot of policy developments with a view of ensuring that the system gets steered in the right direction. Now, for the financial year ending March 2018, there are going to be various policies developed for this subsector. One being the performance reporting policy for TVET colleges, the policy for the financial management policy for TVET colleges, but also policy for the South African Institute for VSET. On slide 47, a policy for administration, management of student admission at TVET colleges, as well as the review of
the departmental policy framework on TVET qualification. The number of oversight reports that are going to be produced as part of the monitoring of the colleges will be 16. One, it's on the conduct of public TVET college examination centers. Also on the certification backlog, the implementation of the IT examination services within the TVET system. Slide number 48, performance of students in colleges. The implementation of teaching and learning support plans, implementation of student support services, as well as the implementation of a strategy on strategic partnership with stakeholders. Earlier on, there was an indication of CETA offices within TVET colleges. Now, this report will be covering the progress in respect of that relationship. Now, slide 51 reflects the plan performance. Sorry, slide 50. No, I think I've jumped. It's slide 49. Slide 49 reflects the infrastructure, the planned infrastructure development within TVET colleges. As you would know, that there are 12 college campuses that are underway, three of which have been completed. Now the plan in the next financial year is to ensure that there's a rollout plan for the remaining nine, but also to ensure that there's proper infrastructure funding model for TVET colleges, as well as infrastructure maintenance plan for the colleges. Also developing a national infrastructure asset management system for the TVET colleges, so as to ensure that the infrastructure at college level is properly maintained and managed. Slide 50, that's the where the targets in relation to the performance of colleges are kept. You will see that, as indicated earlier on, we have slightly deviated from the original targets in relation to headcount enrollments in TVET colleges due to funding pressures. And as the minister indicated earlier on, the 710,535 planned enrollment targets for TVET colleges has been kept for the next MTF. That is comprised of state-funded, college-funded, as well as funded from other sources. In terms of certification rates, after careful consideration of previous performance in respect to certification rates in NCV level 4, N3, and N6, the targets have been revised downwards for the 5 years to 40% in terms of NCV level 4, 65%, and 50% in terms of N6. Now for 2017-18, NCV level 4 will be at 30%, N3 55%, and N6 40%. Slide number 51, currently it takes more than 9 months, and I'm referring to the 2015-16 financial year, to issue certificates, and I think we have heard of the progress that has been made in terms of the backlog. Now, the planned lead time in terms of new certificates is 3 months going forward. The percentage of public TVET colleges complying with national policy in terms of the conduct of national examinations is kept at 100%. So there's zero tolerance there in terms of non-compliance. Number of qualifying TVET students obtaining NASFAS, 298,000, that's the baseline in 2015. The planned target for 17-18 is 200,000 at a minimum. And lastly, the percentage of TVET institutions evaluated on implementation of proposed best practice should be at 100%. This is mainly talking to governance structures and implementation levels. Slide number 52 reflects those targets that are not funded. I'm not going to repeat. I think the CFO has covered these areas. But suffice to also mention that due to unreliable data from the system, the branch is planning to have, for two areas, students receiving funding from NSFAS, especially at NCV level 4, who are able to receive qualifications, to have baseline information, but also have baseline information in terms of the throughput rate in TVET colleges. And slide number 53, that relates to program 5, the skills development, which is responsible for artisan development. The program has 4 objectives, also in relation to steering mechanisms, oversight, artisan development assessment services, as well as development of infrastructure to improve artisan development. Slide number 54 relates to the planned deliverables linked to the 4 objectives. Also, the program will be reviewing and finalizing one of its steering mechanisms, being the National Skills Development Plan, the completion date being 31 March 2018, but also producing oversight reports, 5 oversight reports covering the implementation of the NSDS by CITAS on a quarterly basis, implementation of good governance standards by CITAS, as well as the progressive development of the security infrastructure at INLEA. The program is also planning to reduce the average lead time on trade testing for all qualifying applications from the baseline of 169 days to 100 days. In terms of the performance of the system within the skills development arena, there are 6 targets which will be monitored and reported on by the program. The number of web-based learning opportunities, the target being 130,000 from a baseline of 118,582. The number of new artisan learners registered with going down from 28,640 in 2015 to 27,750 on the basis of a previous performance. But in terms of artisans qualified, we're expecting to see increases from 16,114 to 21,110, which is closer to the 5-year target of 24,000 per annum by 2020. The percentage of national artisan learners trade test pass rate, we're expecting this to increase from 54% to 58%, moving closer to the planned 65% by 2020. The percentage of national artisan learners employed or self-employed, we're expecting this to increase from 40% to 60%. In terms of the proportion of CITAS meeting standards of good governance, we're expecting this to be at 60%. This is an indicator which was not monitored in the previous financial years. In terms of program 6 on slide number 56, this is the program that is responsible for community education and training colleges. On the same line as well, the program has 3 objectives covering development of proper or appropriate steering mechanisms. Also, implementation of oversight instruments, provision of CET, teaching and learning support. And in slide number 57, we have the 2 targets that are linked to the three strategic objectives mentioned in slide number 56. One being the development of steering mechanisms for the sector, ensuring that by end of September, the subsector has a clear service delivery model. By end March 2018, there is proper reporting policy for CET colleges, but also reviewing and finalizing the funding framework for the CET colleges. There are two oversight reports that will be produced biannually. One on the implementation of teaching and learning support framework within the CET colleges, but also on the performance of the subsystem, which is due by end March 2018. Slide number 58 reflects the two system targets, which will be monitored by the program. It is expected that in 2017-18, headcount enrollment in CET colleges will be at 310,000, and the certification rate, informal CET qualification, at 38%. These two targets do not have baseline performance. Thank you very much. This is the end of the presentation in terms of the planned performance and the targets thereof.
Thank you very much again, Minister, DG, the CFO, and the rest of the team for the presentation. Honourable members, it's over to yourself to engage in this report. I see Honourable Kikana's hand. I'm going to move this way to see the other hand. Let me stand up.
Hi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the presentation connects to what we have seen when we were doing oversight just before the Easter. It is surprising that wherever we go, in Limpopo, in KwaZulu-Natal, everywhere where we went, you could see the eagerness. You find students there, and you can see it's written on their face. They are eager to learn. But everywhere we go in the TVET, everybody is complaining about the lack of equipment to do it properly, lack of staff to employ enough teachers. And all the time you can see there is inefficiency because there are just not enough resources there. Now, we want to fight poverty, we want to fight unemployment. We even want radical economic transformation. But if we haven't skilled this nation and our youth, how are all this going to happen? How will we expand the economy? You know, on radio SAFM, they spoke for about a week in the evening and during the day about in KwaZulu-Kuni, where there's a traditional tea. This tree actually grows this traditional tree, and they send it to the laboratory. It has vitamin A, B, C, and they said it has anti-fatigue, anti-old age. We are afraid to get old, and I got attracted to this tea. And they said, if they can get assistance, they could employ up to 500 people. Because first of all, they don't want to lose it because people are chopping it down and making wood, and they want to expand it into a big plantation of producing it, packaging it. Now, if the CETA for agri, and this demand is all over, you can imagine, in the country, if the CETA could go out there and be able, this agricultural sector, that is run by the villages and the communities would flourish. And this thing of unemployment in South Africa, poverty after liberation, will be something of the past. Now, I think we should fight nail and tooth to get the secured money. I mean, we can't storage money when there's so much high and desperate demand for it. I want to ask the presenter for finance, the 5 billion, how can we make sure it is released? Because to be honest, I think it is a sin to put money in a box and the family need the money and they sleep on hungry stomachs and it is stored in the box. It must come out because its purpose is to develop, is to help these hungry stomachs. So how can we make 100% it is released? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. Of course, we do sympathize with the department because year in and year out, they cry about the adequate or lack of funding. And this is the point that we have been saying, that we would like to see a change, and hopefully one day the powers that be will see the necessity to come into the party and really assist the department. But again, we are equally worried when the department set its own targets, for example, the enrollment targets, and apparently they are not met, not necessarily because of lack of funding, but because of changes in admission policies for certain universities, therefore affecting the enrollment. For instance, we are being told that the University of South Africa and the Tshwane University of Technology deviated from the approved enrollment targets due to changes perhaps in their admission policies and so on. But what I would like to know is whether there is any way in which the department could impress on the universities that they should actually stick to those enrollment targets and how important it is for them to do so, because we are trying to educate the nation and therefore we shouldn't be let down by changes in admission policies ending up with fewer students being enrolled. The second issue, what I would like to know is, we know, for example, that in the University of Limpopo, there is a new faculty of health. And what I would like to know from the department is, how are they going to fund the development of these medical schools in the University of Limpopo? Because as the presentations have gone through, I couldn't hear a thing about that. Maybe I didn't listen very well. And again, whether there is a special funding dedicated towards the development of the school in the University of Limpopo. Thirdly, Chairperson, the former finance minister, courtesy of the recent reshuffle, Mr. Gordon indicated there would be a ministerial task team constituted by the Minister of Finance, together with Minister Mtsaledi and Minister Zimande, as well as Minister Pastel, on planning the Limpopo Central Hospital and the new medical school of the University of Limpopo. What I would like to find out is whether there has been some progress in establishing the team. Again, lastly, the department has not been able to meet the target of the 180 days average lead time from the recruitment requisition received until the appointment of the recommendation. We hear today it's about takes about 221 days, citing lack of perhaps the lack of capacity in the recruitment, you need to respond. And of course, during the consideration of the 2016 and 17 third quarterly report, it was noted that the process was in place to find a service provider to fast track the capturing of the large volumes of applications. Whether a process that was underway to find a service provider to fast track the capturing of the large volumes of applications has been completed, and whether the service provider will be a permanent feature in the department or will only be relied on only when the need arises. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank the ministers and officials for the wealth of information that they've shared with us. And the one thing that I can say is that really in the presentations there is such a lot of information that it's actually difficult to then just highlight a few individual items from this. And therefore I would like to just start off by saying that if I remember correctly, some 20 years ago we had a dream of this country being and this nation becoming a learning nation, where every workplace would be a place of learning, where we would really use education and training as the game changer, the one that would really open up opportunities for the vast majority of South Africans who have in the past experienced that they were left behind. And so I'm concerned that it seems to me, in a sense, the department has given up on that dream. We've seen such modest targets. We have seen in some cases targets which I would always describe as embarrassingly low. And I want to urge the department to again, you know, when they go back to the drawing board, to try and rekindle that dream that we've had in the past, to really make it possible for more and more South Africans to get those skills that are really needed by the economy. And it pains me to when employers from time to time tell me that they rather employ foreigners than South Africans, because the foreigners, quite often people from other African countries that are less well endowed than South Africa in terms of its economies and so on, that those people are far more eager to learn and they arrive here far better qualified, etc. And the fact that we've got no database of throughput rates, the fact that people must wait 6 months for an assessment opportunity at a state-run institution like Inlela, etc. I really think this is an indictment on the department and on us all as fellow South Africans. Some 30, 40 years ago, the number of registered apprenticeships were in the order of 35,000 per annum. Now, with a population that's about probably 40% more than what I was taught when I was in school, we have a smaller number as a target of registered apprenticeships. Now, something is wrong for me if your population is growing, if your economy is growing, and yet your targets are below what it used to be three, four decades ago. And therefore, Chair, I really want to say we need to train people in skills that will allow themselves to employ themselves productively and profitably. We have this enormous unemployment rate in our country. It is really a crisis in our country. And to then listen to a presentation like this where we have these modest targets, and where we don't really see signs of the department moving to a more efficient system where we can get, we all know there's a lack of money, we all know that the resources are scarce, but what have we done? We've actually increased exponentially the cost of training in this country. I've been with the old technical colleges, and I know how much more it costs now to sustain a student for 1 year at a college with all these head offices that we've established, with all the more senior positions at our colleges that we've established, etc. And we've moved from what I then perceived to be a fairly lean and efficient system to a system where there's a lot of fat, even in a college sector where we say it's completely underfunded, and I fully agree with the minister's words in that respect. So, Chair, my question is, what are the department's plans to really rekindle that dream of South Africa as a learning nation, where we make it possible for people, even in rural and remote areas, to obtain the best qualifications and the best education possible, and where we can really encourage employers to offer training to people that feel that they are disadvantaged and they are not fulfilling their full potential. If I could hear that from the department today, how can we change the underspending of the National Skills Fund around so that people are rather queuing for funding and saying, I'm so successful in training my staff and I want to take on even more people on those training programs. What are your plans in this regard? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Coach. Thank you. Chair, I have a couple of very specific questions. One is, did I read it incorrectly, or is this the case, that the budget for academic planning and monitoring in universities has gone up from 6.5 billion to 11.5 billion? At the same time as the subsidy has only gone up from 26 billion to 27 billion, which is below inflation. If you could perhaps explain that. My second comment is the target for PhD production among academic staff remains in the 40s. It's one of those very modest targets that Mr. van der Westhuizen was talking about. 40%, 45%, 46%. Surely our academic staff in universities should be around 70 or 80%, with the remaining 30 registered for their PhD. Then we come to the modest targets, which everyone has spoken about. Now, if you look at some of the figures for 2020 in earlier documents, we see that for universities the target was 1.7 million students, and for colleges it was 1.2 million. We are now down to roughly about 1 million or 1.1 million for universities and 700,000 for colleges. In other words, we are down by 1 million. 1 million fewer students than we had envisaged a few years ago when that original plan was written. What I want to know is the Treasury aware of this, and are they as horrified by it as we are? Is the Cabinet aware of it, and are they as horrified by it as we are? Is the President aware of it? Because this is a country which keeps talking about developing the education. Education is meant to be an apex priority. And yet we're looking at this very severe reduction in targets for financial reasons. I understand the reduction in targets. And in many ways, I think it's the only thing the department can do in the face of extreme financial pressure. But it interests me that this could happen in a government where education is meant to be one of the apex priorities. And Minister, I'd like to ask you what you have done in relation to approaching Treasury and Cabinet and the President, and what they have responded to you when you did, if and when you did approach them, to change their approach towards higher education. Then another
specific target that was extremely concerning was, no, not target, a fact, that only 40% of artisans are employed. Now, we were always told that the one thing we really need are more artisans, and we're really going to make an effort to get more artisans. Why are only 40% of them employed? And is this a reflection on the quality of training they're getting? Because if that is the case, we really need an artisan upheaval program. just a couple of other ones. NSFAS recipients down in TVET colleges in targets. The target for NSFAS recipients is down for future years. What's going on there? And then my last question, which I have asked before, but I would like to hear the Minister's response to this. Why has this department taken on the community education and training colleges, most of whose pupils are under matric level, below matric level, in other words, school level, and which is itself very underfunded, in fact, so underfunded that it's probably more or less dysfunctional. So why has this department taken this burden on? It should be in basic education. It is a distraction for higher education from its core core job, and it just places yet another underfunded burden on the system. Thank you.
Thanks, co-chairperson.
From the kingdom.
From the NCOP. thank you, Honourable Minister, and your team for the presentations. I just want to start on slide number six, Chairperson. The department talks about production of 19,124 new teachers. I want to find out if this includes the teachers who hold a PGCE. It's not the first time I'm addressing this one. I did talk about it even last year, Minister, questioning the quality of these PGCE and if it's the kind of production that you would like to give to basic education for improving results with basic education because of the way that this certificate is handled. Now, I just want to find out if anything has been done to improve that, if that number includes those teachers and if something has been done to improve the quality there. Because last time we checked, I checked, quality was really very questionable. And the department did agree when I questioned this. And they made a commitment that they are going to look into it and see how they can improve. I also would like to join the minister. I don't know whether he is joining me or I'm joining him in the doi-doi to increase funding for TVET colleges. Because I've always had this concern, Honorable Chairperson, that TVET colleges are really made the Cinderella of the department because they get the leftovers. They don't really get the quality funding. As a result, you find out that most learners, when they finish grade 12, the first priority is for them to try universities. And when they don't get admitted there, they then divert to TVET colleges, not because they would have wanted to, but because it is what is left for them to do. And because of this kind of situation that is created, TVET colleges are not given the kind of importance, even with funding. The department is saying there is one university that is offering tuition for lecturers at TVET colleges. It impacts on quality again. when you get to TVET colleges, when you do oversight visits, there is a number of lecturers there who do not qualify to be there. But because TVET colleges will then end up grabbing whatever is available, it also affects quality then. Now, I do want to say, Honorable Minister, you are joining actually me, and I'm saying, let us lobby both the National Assembly and the NCOP to say, let us not pass this budget if nothing is done to increase funding for TVET colleges. It has always been a concern. I do agree with you, Minister, and I'm with you to say, let us not pass the budget if TVET colleges are not properly given funding. I don't know whether it is the department that is failing to give attention to TVET colleges, or it is finance that is not giving you enough money. Maybe we still need to check that as to whether you are also failing them by saying when you get your funds, you do not prioritize them. You start elsewhere, and then whatever is left, you then give to TVET colleges. My next one, Chairperson, is I've said a lot on TVET colleges. On your slide 23, you can see there with your 8% increases, the universities are 2 billion, 2.6, 2.7. When it comes to TVET colleges, it's 168 million. 2019-20, 178 million. We start counting in millions when it comes to increasing funding for TVET colleges. So that's why I'm saying maybe we also need to check on you whether you are also doing this to TVET colleges. You are, what the Department of Finance is doing to you, you are also doing it to TVET colleges by not prioritizing them accordingly. I also would like to check your slide 34. You talk about developing, implementing, and monitoring policies and HRD strategy. Not sure whether it's correctly written, because when I check the APP, it says you have developed your HRD strategy, but here you talk about developing. When I remove policies there, the sentence says develop, implement, and monitor HRD strategy for South Africa. Does this mean you don't have, or maybe you gave us a wrong information there by combining the two wrongly? If you can check on that one. My next one is on research, and where you also talk about improving teaching and learning at institutions. The institutions that you have visited, there is this complaint that research is underfunded, Honorable Minister, in all the tertiary institutions, and maybe also it goes to what you were complaining about earlier on in respect of the PhDs and the master's degrees. Of course, you were talking about the black PhDs, master's degrees, but also in total, the research suffers in institutions, according to what they are saying to us, because research is not properly funded. Can the department also look into that and do something about it? Because it's a complaint that is generally with all the institutions that they are very much leaking on research because research is not properly funded, both by public sector and the private sector. So you also suffer the same fate. It's not just the private sector. They also say government is also not properly funding them. And lastly, the slide number 55, where you talk of the proportion of sitters meeting standards of good governance. I complained to Basic Education about these targets, and it's the same situation again with your department, Honorable Minister, where you talk about 60%. My issue is, what about the other 40%? I was saying 60% of the sitters can meet good governance, but the other 40%, they can mess up, it's okay. Why 60%? Why not 100%? Because we are talking about good governance, which means there are those on whom you will be lenient even if they don't meet the standards of good governance. I am really not in agreement with this one. If we have to monitor good governance, it has to be 100% on all of them, not just 40%, and not just 60%. What about the other 40%? Who are we giving it to? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairs. Yeah. Our subject was supposed to be number 5. But it's fine. I'm glad I'm coming after him. I have something for him. Thank you very much, co-chairs, and my greetings to the minister and the team. Let me start by, it's a pity because I don't see you, minister. Not DG. No, as long as we hear each other. Let me start off by thanking the department. Bongi department for the quality university you are building in Mpumalanga, which us from the oversight as a committee were very much impressed. Beautiful quality, state of the art, and up to date in terms of technology on the buildings that we saw. I must say we really appreciate, Minister. I think that is what we're expecting in all other universities that we have, that maybe they will be upgraded to the standard that we saw in Mpumalanga, the beautiful university. It's not complete, but the building that we saw, good quality buildings. We really appreciate that as a province. I also welcome the presentation that has been presented to us. But I'm not joining the Toy Toy for the TVET as a member of parliament because we're approving the budget, so we can't Toy Toy. We can only support the minister in ensuring that we do get this money. I fully agree. We had taking parliament to the people in the Eastern Cape last year. They are doing very well with the limited resources that they have. I visited one TVET that is agricultural related, is East London, but outside the town. They're doing exceptionally well, assisting other provinces as well, but they're underfunded. As a result, they are going to cut some of the activities that they're doing. On the how part, we assist the department, is something that could be agreed by both committees without really toying Honorable Kaula. But there is a need for funding of TVET colleges. And also the quality of educators there, I do agree with Honorable Kaula that if you find a lecturer who can hardly express him or herself in English, it raises some concerns. So I think an attention is required in that area. I'm going to raise an issue which I think I'm raising for the third time now. Maybe we could have missed this word. Somebody is saying no in this word. No, I'll start with this word. Simepi as a country. Mamakon, Beswabida was asked, where do we stand as a country in terms of the scarce skill? Because, Minister, your plan should be responding to that. I might have missed a report. I asked this question when we met the pieces, all of them, as a committee. Where do we stand as a country? What are they addressing? Because they should be responding on that. When we speak about scarce skills, with what we are doing now, what are we addressing? Where do we stand as a country? With the pace that we are at now, how long is it going to take us? It can't be 100%, but to the level where we say at least we can be able to address issues that we need to address as a country. There's a talk of the fourth industrial revolution. The skills that we're busy with now, are they taking that into consideration. I'm not 100% sure what I'm talking about, the fourth industrial revolution, but let me take issues that are affecting women. In the past, if you are to cook, you just go to the forest and get firewood, make fire and cook. Simple as that. Now in the kitchen, you are faced with a stove, not a welcome stove. A stove that requires some basic skills to operate it. Your microwave, your cleaning machines, your washing machine. Don't we think that we need some basic skills on that area? Are we doing that? Where do we leave those women who don't have anything? But they, now they do have money because this government is assisting them. Do we say they must not have those things or TV sets? Now we have both DS. Are they able to operate those things? I'm talking about basic things that are affecting women. I do want Minister to have an indication, I don't know whether it's your department, to give us some indication to where do we stand on our staff skills in terms of a shortage, and are these plans towards that. The issue of, I don't know whether I'm asking the wrong person, I'm driven by academic hospital in Mpumalanga. We don't have academic hospital in Mpumalanga. It may be the Department of Health, it may be a joint program, because when we were doing oversight, the MEC spoke about having a department in the university dealing with the academic issues. I don't think that will be sufficient. I am foreseeing the province having a fully-fledged academic hospital in Mpumalanga, because every day there are patients that are transported to Gauteng, and some are going to private hospitals. That in itself, it says we do need such a hospital. So I'm saying, I'm not sure whether I'm asking the wrong question, but this academic is saying to me, you might have something to do with it. Then the last one on slide number 51 is about the target. It is related to what one member raised earlier. The baseline of 2015 was saying 298,457. 2017-18, your target is 200,000. And clearly spelled out qualifying NSFAS students. Okay, are you planning for a shortfall? MAPLAMA students that qualify who are not going to get this NSFAS, yet they do qualify. Is it because of the finances, or are we planning for a shortfall? That has an element of our problems when they don't get. That is when they start tutoring, because from the planning level, you are planning for a shortfall. Thank you very much, Coach. I also want to welcome all the presentations, and want to raise a concern that in the TVET sector, the targets have been set. My colleagues have spoken on that. However, subsidies have continued to decline, leading to the capping of enrollment, I believe. But I do want to say that DG and the Minister, during the oversight that we have embarked upon, TVET College lecturers and students say that they have expressed a concern that the curriculum is outdated. Some will say that it is not recognized by employers and lacks articulation. I would like to know what percentage of the budget allocated to sub-program 3, which is programs and qualifications, is allocated for curriculum review, whether the budget will enable the department to conduct curriculum review in this current financial year. that one is a big, it's a big concern, honestly. We've heard that Middlesbrough and QCTO are working on it, but we're not sure when are they going to complete the work, yet at the same time we continue with what we are teaching, we're offering to our students. The second one is on the introduction of the new institutional type, which is community education colleges. To me, this is a highly commendable move by the department. But one must say that we are not yet where we're not where we wanted to see ourselves. We do need DG to have a model of what is envisaged as a fully fledged community college. Something that can be used for other provinces to benchmark. The concern that is raised by members, to be honest, is a fact. We must be realistic in that regard. But we do feel that it is very important to have such institutions that will teach our people various skills. I have seen in the report, it says our young people. It's not only for the young and the old as well. It is for both the young and the old. For me, I think we are thinking on the same line, that a variety of skills will be taught in this in these institutions. But we do need you to show us just one institution in the country to say this is what we think a community college can look like. We do need those. It's a very good move by the department. On university education, on the provision of quality education and training, the NDP commits to 10 universities that should offer TVET lecturing qualifications by 2019. During the 2016-17, the department targeted to have the 10 universities accredited. Performance in this regard was to be reported during the fourth quarter of 2016-17. For 2017-18, the department has reduced this target to only one university to be accredited. Why is this target set so low when there are only 2 years left for the remainder of the MTSS? Is the department confident that this target will be achieved by 2019-2020? It goes back to what other members were saying, that we do need to upskill our TVET lecturer. So if we're hoping that we would get more clarity in this regard from the department. CFO, can you please clarify the allocation to TVET in terms of the appropriation bill 2017, the ENE and the department's APP? The budget allocation to program 4 is 7.4 billion. But on slide 17, the budget is 9.4 billion. Does this include NSFAS allocation or is it an error? Please clarify. Lastly, Chair, on construction of the new TVET college campuses, the department has been experiencing delays in finalizing procurement processes, but the target for the rollout plan has been set for the 31st of March 2018. I would like to know when is the tender evaluation process will be completed. A concern is just the escalation of construction.
Thank you very much, coaches. And let me follow my colleagues and Let me follow my colleagues and receive the presentations that were made. I just want to start by applauding the department, Umalusi and CITAS, for the progress that they made on the certification backlogs. That was the burning issue when student has to write examination, pass the exams, and then were not certificated, which were, and then they can't go for employment. But my worry now is on the issue of the three targets that are reflected in the APPs and are not funded. My question is, do we start by targeting on issues and then look for the budget, or we look for the budget first and then we target on according to the budget? That is my question. And one pending issue, the issue of student accommodation, that is also affected. When we were during the oversight, the students were complaining, and some of them were even on the unrest at UniZulu. We found them on the streets. One of the issues was the student accommodation. We find it difficult to get, this is a burning issue in that they even make mention of some of the students being raped, and here we are now, the target is not funded, which means we are still going to have the same problem again. Now, my question is, when we, Minister, you were complaining about the PhDs, you were very much worried about them. When the students are not having accommodation, how can they really achieve? That is a serious issue. Now, what are the plans? What plans are we having in solving this matter? Because it is there, and the students are already protesting, and the target is not funded. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Minister, members, and officials from the Department of Higher Education. The core mandate of the Department of Higher Education is outcome 5. That has to do with the production of a capable and skilled workforce with a view to supporting the economic growth path as well as economic transformation. To that extent, Honourable Minister and the Department, I am afraid we cannot continue with the situation where, instead of funding the TVET sector at the level of 80%, we are doing it only at 24%. At 54%, it's way below what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know if I could join you in a proposal to say that let us take a vigorous action to ensure that the budget is passed for the amount that we want, even if it means cutting down from other departments where we can cut down. We shall have to embark on a serious action to ensure that we support the department, because education is the apex priority of the country. The issue, Honourable Minister, again, of the production, you are saying that we've increased the number of graduates, we've increased the number of teachers that are qualified in science and natural sciences, as well as engineering. But I just wanted to establish, DG, whether in the process of planning of the programs, both for universities and TVET colleges, there is a platform where we sit together with the industry so that they make suggestions of what it is that industry requires, so that we then align the curriculums with the requirements of the industry. For instance, I've come across civil engineers that are not employed. Now you ask yourself a question. If this person is qualified to that extent, is that qualification relevant to what is required by the industry? This is what I am asking as to whether there is a platform where we sit together and plan that this is marketable, this can be done, this is now irrelevant, and also the issue of the equipment that is used to train our artisans in the TVET colleges needs to be upgraded. We might offer training, we might certificate them, but the currency of their certificate is questionable in many of the instances. Again, liaison with the Department of Basic Education, for instance, we have produced teachers qualified in math and science at the level of about 659 as a way of increase. But we've got 25,000 or more schools in the country. So to me, this is still a drop in the ocean. We need to increase that qualification. Technology. This world requires people that are technologically advanced, and I don't know. We have got institutions that are called universities of technology, but the products that come out of those institutions, I don't know if they really address the technological requirements of the country. Honorable the Minister, that we are from an oversight, we went to Mpumalanga. Yes, I want to add my voice to what she has said in terms of the beauty of the infrastructure that is there. But as we're engaging with them, there was something like they want to expand that faculty of agriculture. They also want to introduce health and related sciences. But with the capping of enrollment, I don't know if that is going to be feasible. That is what the people of the province want as a qualification from that university. And if the enrollments are capped, are we going to be able to expand and introduce those faculties as per request by the people? Let me move over to the issue of other issues that have been covered by honorable members, but the issue of the certification. The honorable minister did say in the opening remarks that there's been drastic improvement, and DG also did say that. At the certification production that has had a big and a huge backlog. But now if I look at slide 50, the targets for certification rates are very, very low. Now my question is, are we promoting the backlog? Because in my own thinking, if I finish a qualification in June 2017, I must get my certificate around July. Because I want the certificate to go and seek employment. So if we put the target so low for certification, I don't think we are promoting a situation where we put enough pressure on the sitter to ensure that they produce certificates at the required time. And again, on the slide 55, Chair, when you say the number of new artisan learners registered nationally per annum, 27,750. But the number of new artisans that would qualify is 21,100, meaning about 6,000 artisans are planned to fail. From the point of view of a teacher, when you teach history or mathematics or physical science, your target is 100%. Whatever happens in between, it could be beyond your control, but your target is 100%. So if we say that we are registering 27,000, but we anticipate that only 21 would pass, are we aiming high enough to achieve as a department? The same applies to trait testing. Somebody did raise that one, that people would have to wait for such a long time for them to go through this trait testing. It is an issue that I think we need to look into and revise, because people are waiting for these certificates, these qualifications, for them to be able to make a living and be able to sustain. Chairperson, I think those are the issues that I wanted to raise. Oh, the last issue, Chair, is the issue of the community colleges of education. What are the critical differences in the programs offered by the TVET and these colleges? I just want to know. And it has been said that there is only one in each province. Is that adequate? Where are they? What is the footprint of the Department of Higher Education in the region? If I am at Ugu, when I go around, can I be able to identify the office? I know that it is a national function. It's not a concurrent function. But the services are required by the people out there nonetheless. Home Affairs is a national function, but you find the offices everywhere in the country, in each and every district. Is it the same with the Department of Higher Education? Is there a footprint of this department at the level of districts where people require your service? Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Just two or three things from my side. I think, Minister, it will help if the department can present to us, apart from what the Minister of Finance presented in his speeches when he brought the budget. He raised a number of critical areas insofar as the fiscal pressures that are there. Has the department been able to look at what is the outcome or what is the effect of those fiscal pressures on the Department of Higher Education and Training insofar as them living up to the targets that they are supposed to meet by 2030, including the fact that your economy is not growing, and because of the fact that your economy is not growing, it has further pressures on yourself to be able to live up to the expectations that has been made, and at the same time your injection into the economy from higher education is supposed to mitigate those problems that we are sitting with, and you are supposed to be putting a higher percentage in what you are doing to change what is there in the economy. It will help if you can tell us that. The second thing is, we have given the department, we have given Treasury, through our BRRR processes, our recommendations, which the Minister responded to in his speech in February. Now, in there was a couple of commitments that has been made, which they said that they best must engage with the Department of Higher Education and Training. Has that occurred? Heads are doing that around the table already. Has that occurred? What is the problem that this has not occurred? Because there are specific proposals that have been made, which, when you go back to the speech of the Minister, you'll find it in there, that says that indeed Parliament has said this, but we think best we must partner with the Department to address those things and to respond to them. In there would be the issues of the TVETs,
And in there would be what we have spoken about, you know, the downward spiral of the targets of the department and the downward spiral of the budget in that regard. And then added to that is the ministerial committees. I think one of the members mentioned that the ministerial committee that has been put together to address a range of things. And whether indeed these things have happened, are they there, and are attention being given to those issues? If we just take from Parliament's side the efforts. Now, you would know in the minister's speech, he responds to us when he tables his, when he tables the budget in February. So that's the first one that I wanted to ask, because then we look at what else it is that we need to do with regards to the TIVIS. I think the members are all correct. You know, we have allowed the skewedness in the department to continue, where two sections, both the CET and the TIVIS, Just hold on. Let's just sort out the university. Just hold on, we'll get to you. Now, of course, it's got disastrous consequences. And those disastrous consequences has an impact, again, on both your young people, your economy, and so on. And so I think we should maybe, other than what you are suggesting, we should go much further on the Tibbet College to look both internally on what it is that we need to do, because they've taken away the money, you know, that the money has been taken away for the Tibbet that can address the lecture qualifications. Now, with the money's been taken away, what other options are there? What else are being envisaged? Because the ideas are not going to go away, the decisions are not going to go away. And at the same time, there's supposed to be a program with the universities on accreditation for the TIVIS. Is it happening or not? We think some of those efforts will help to take some of the matters. On our oversight, we have seen in many provinces the fact that many of the schools, because of population decline, are going empty. And then, of course, the department must rely on another department to allow TIVITs to access these buildings. Now, our findings there are that these buildings are just empty, and the TIVITs have to get in there, wait and pray, and hope that they will not be evicted. Isn't that a serious program? Because some of those places have got accommodation also, much needed accommodation. And it will alleviate that problem that the Tivit colleges are sitting with. So I'm asking Minister that, you know, I think we will be right to say that we start a far bigger revolution on the Tivit College and the community colleges. I don't think we should leave out the community colleges. It is not a burden. You know, if you look internationally at what countries are doing around community colleges, they are part of higher education. They're not a burden to anyone. In fact, community education colleges, you know, there's a distinct role in my understanding of how the legislation has been crafted in this instance also. It's supposed to provide far more individual attention to everyone, and then the path that they take them from there. Some of those people might land back into the Tibet and to the universities also. And so the attention maybe is not necessarily given in the same manner that it is supposed to. So I don't want us to delink the community college discussion from the Tibet. The two must be discussed together because of the importance. What do we want to achieve? We want to achieve the skill level from the past injustices that we've had in this country of why many people either have not been able to get to matric, or why the skills level in many of our townships are the way that they are, and hence the community colleges will be able to and is supposed to. Now, the employers are being left off the hook here. and what it is that they can. So instead of us hunting for buildings around the country, and you must be burdened with, or the colleges must be burdened with rent that's sky high that they need to pay. Quite frankly, at many workplaces, there are empty places. There are factories that have been retrenching till thy kingdom come. They have space in those buildings to allow community colleges. So again, I want to say the revolution around this must be included with the Tivit colleges in what it is that we would want to achieve. I want to ask the target on certificates that I've seen there, that can't be the target. It's a current policy, the 3 months. And maybe what we should ask is you should revise it to take into consideration that there's a backlog. Because if you stick with the current policy of the 3 months, you want to clear it by July. Minister, we are concerned that not necessarily, and maybe that needs to be looked at. And lastly, on the legislation, we are worried. It is now May 2017. We've not received legislation. We see what you are doing there, but they are proposing there. But that means that, you know, the legislation, the intention of the legislation, we will not be able to honor why you would want to change that legislation in this 5 years. And I think it's not going to be helpful to bring it at the end of 2018. Maybe if we can be told what the difficulties are, both in relation to the one that you mentioned in the report, but also the Skills Act. Why is government not included in paying the levy? What's the problem? What is the difficulty in? There are some that are volunteering. There are others that are saying we won't pay because we're not in the law. But if we are a developmental state, why is the state not leading in being in the legislation to pay the skills levy? It will make a huge contribution, I think, to the fact that you are saying that there's a downward in the income. You said it's going downwards. It's going to go downwards because there are retrenchments, and it's going to go downwards because not sufficient, like SARS are saying, not sufficient revenue is coming in. You in the same boat with the decline in revenue on this one. And then lastly, I think the administration, again, the targets that are being set there, we've really heard that. It's the same target. You are simply not meeting it, and you seem to tell us that you have a target at the end of 2019 to not have a proper outcome of your audit. It can't be. You're supposed to do it year on year. You can't target it to be clean at the end of the 5 years. It's supposed to be clean for the entire 5 years. So can you explain to us why you have put together the target in that regard? Because the Auditor General points out all the time to yourself that here is your difficulty. So we can fight for more money, but if your capacity DG is not there in administration, all these 200 and whatever days that you're struggling to get people, and what you have put there on your slide is a worrying one. What is it more that needs to be done in that area? Because that area will drag you down all the time in relation to any other funding needs. Minister, in the 6 minutes that you have to go,
unfortunately, Chair, if we had had time, I would have preferred that the officials answer first and then I come at the end. But I don't have that choice now, given the fact that I have to go catch a plane. I hope that we could systematically select, going forward, some issues that we might need to go into some deeper discussion around. But I know it's important that we have to sign off on the APP, of course, with some of the suggestions that we are making. So I'm going to pick up on issues, those that I don't pick up on, the DG and his team will actually deal with. Honorable Van der Westhuizen, I hear your concerns, but the manner in which you are putting them is as if nothing has happened over the past 23 years in terms of making South Africa a learning nation. Yes, there are challenges, but we have done a lot, really a lot. You look at universities today, it's completely changed from what they were in 1994. Our entire education system, we've expanded opportunities tremendously. This year we're going to be spending 15 billion rands this financial year on NSFAS alone. As a matter of fact, I always say this, I think that NSFAS has made a huge contribution in the growth of the black middle class in this country, something that wasn't there. We have not abandoned the dream of a learning nation, we are implementing it. So I think that much as we need to be realistic. The other thing that bothers me also, Honorable Van der Westhuizen's comments, you can't compare artisan development 40 years ago under apartheid and now. One of the things that the apartheid government did in its twilight years, I can say this, was to actually take away training from state-owned companies as part of their mandate. Your Transnet, your Eskoms, and so on, that was taken away by former President de Klerk deliberately to undermine the training of black skilled workers after apartheid. Because you may ask us, what have we done now that we are government? We've done a lot, except that Transnet, Eskom, they come to us and say, let the CITES give us money, let the National Skills Fund, otherwise this is not part of our mandate. And we have increased. The difference, by the way, is that the 35,000 artisans we are talking about were all white 40 years ago. All white, completely. Now, the majority of the artisans that we are producing, I think, are 90% black, which is a big change and quite a big shift. I think that it's important that we also bear that in mind. Honorable Bozoli, I'm sympathetic to your concerns about that maybe we need to be increasing the targets on PhDs. It's a matter this that we have been dealing with. We had set aside some 2 years ago just under R1 billion to send mostly black students all over the world for master's and PhD programs. Unfortunately, we used all that money to subsidize a no-fee increase for 2016. It got all taken by that. It's money that, because they are also, not that we are submitting to these pressures. We don't have enough supervisory capacity for PhDs in South Africa at the numbers that we need, let alone the other problems of gatekeeping and all that. We just do not have enough supervisory capacity. That's why we were starting this big program, which in fact we're hoping it could even be elevated into being a presidential program. Do like what the Brazilians have done. They had set aside a few years back $1 billion to take Brazilian students all over the world for master's and PhD programs as part of increasing this. But given the current constraints, there are challenges. But I think it's something that we need to relook at. Yes, Cabinet is aware of all these shortcomings. we've been discussing that at all levels of the executive where decisions are made, ministers committee on the budget, when we do our quarterly reports, which we do without fail on progress on our targets and agreement with the president, we are always raising these matters. What we are saying is that we need to escalate, and part of that escalation is for Parliament also to make a firm stand that will really help in terms of getting more resources, especially for the TVET college sector. DG may give some more detail why only 40% of artisans are employed. The one thing we've been really trying to crack is that South African employers, especially in the private sector, have no history of artisan training. Even under apartheid, it was state-owned companies. They have just no history. Unlike when you go to Switzerland and Germany, where it's like in their blood, in their DNA, that they train. Because you can't train artisans, you can't produce artisans in the numbers you want, unless you have got work placement. That's a big issue, that we are making some progress, but we are far from where we should be if we are to increase this, because theory alone won't produce artisans. So the chair of the portfolio committee is right that we are letting employers off the hook. Now, what we've been looking at with former Minister Godan was a combination of carrot and a stick. What incentives maybe do we need to be giving to employers? There are incentives at this point in time, but there seem to be no uptake. Do we need more of a stick to actually demand that certain things are done in this area of placement? But the DG and senior management will give details to this in terms of how does it look like? What progress? What obstacles? Honorable Pozola, I'm disappointed because it looks like we are not embracing the idea of a post-school education and training system as contained in our white paper. I agree with the Honorable September that community colleges, we can't look at them as a burden at all. And they are part of the post-school landscape. That's what they are. Basic education runs schools. That's its mandate. And it's an international norm. And then everybody else who's outside of school dealt with differently, not by the Department of Basic Education. It's anomalous, for that matter, that even Karikude is run by the Department of Basic Education. It should be an higher education, ideally. But when the functions were split, then it was taken in a particular way. Now, Chair, that research is underfunded is a fact. This is a joint responsibility, by the way, between myself and Minister Pandu, Minister of Science and Technology, because they are primarily the department that funds research. We are worried that also even private sector investment has gone down. You know, the largest employer of PhDs, for instance, used to be Sasol. Now Sasol has shifted. They've made the single biggest investment ever in the history of the United States by a former South African company, which was allowed to be privatized, sold by the apartheid regime in its twilight years, and now its headquarters, it's not listed here in South Africa. And there now they've shifted those resources of training PhDs and employing PhDs to the United States and Europe. Huh? See? To Donald Trump, yes. Make America great again. Sasol is part of that agenda. Now, but we agree, we have to mobilize. We have to do all we can to mobilize funds for research, both in the private and the public sector. Maybe, DG, we need to look at this issue of the targets we are setting for good governance in the CITAS. But you can respond to that. My own view is that perhaps we need to consider what the committee is doing. Now, the issue of SCAF skills, let me perhaps not address it. The DG may address that, because the National Skills Fund has just got under 1 billion rand of bursaries, not even loans. It's 1.2 billion now to support students in the SCAF skills programs. Virtually, there is no student who requires money to do engineering doesn't get it. Either from private bursaries, if they don't, they certainly get it from us. You know, we are actually funding quite a lot. In fact, when we mention NSFAS, we don't highlight the fact that a significant component is exclusively for SCAF skills. But we do have a problem. I had hoped that as a former trade unionist, Honorable September, this is another real doi-doi that we need. You know, when we're moving the CITAS to actually say they must focus lots of their discretionary funds on what we call the pivotal programs, which is your professional, vocational, occupational programs, because the CITAS has been spending money on short courses. They love them because it's a quick buck. You train a domestic worker for 1 week at 40,000 rand, you know? Lots of corruption. But you know who's been opposing us on this, took us to court and lost the case, is BUSA, Business Unit of South Africa. Because BUSA also represents these service providers who have been raiding these CITA monies. So they don't want this shift to artisanal programs, to serious occupational programs. They still want money for the SCAF skills. We have one person here, one agency who we discovered was charging, what, 50,000 rand to train some cadres on emotional intelligence, you know, for 1 week or 2 weeks. This is the money, eh? Now, I think this is the battle we need to take. In fact, it might be helpful for the portfolio committee to call in BUSA, call me as well, so that they don't say things in my absence, so that I can challenge them when they are not speaking the truth. I've spoken to the president of BUSA, said, who do you represent? Do you represent real employers, or do you represent these tenderpreneurs in the CITA system? He said to me, well, I must admit we represent both. So that's another issue. Let me just give you another latest example. One of the reasons why we put wholesale and retail CITA under administration, they were taking away money that was aimed at revitalizing township and village economies. They closed that project without our consent, and it was in our service level agreement. We are in court now because they are challenging this administration. What was that going to include? It was going to include fixing, for instance, of appliances in the townships or in the villages instead of going to the cities. Who is fixing the cell phones today, for example? It's a huge business. We could be doing that, and part of this project was to provide containers for small emerging entrepreneurs in the townships, in the villages, and do that. Why is it that they were opposed to that program? It's because your big wholesalers, amongst other things, your Pick and Pay, your Checkers, they have carved out South Africa like Africa was carved out in Berlin in 1838. They have identified in the whole of South Africa where they want to open new malls and new centers that are going to be doing these things that we are trying to promote African entrepreneurs, small ones, to do. You will never get in a mall, a shop belonging to a September. You will never. Absolutely not. Instead, you have your big monopolies, your Edgars, and so on, and continuation. These are the people who are behind actually doing this, trying to block some of these things that we are actually trying to do in a very, very serious way. I don't want to talk more than that on this, because it's something that, on issues of curriculum, can I leave it to the department? Yes, Honorable Mkhunu, if I'm not mistaken, you are right. We do need to experiment with model colleges, community colleges, which I think is something along those lines that is going to be dealt with. Yeah, only one university offering TVET college lecturers, perhaps DG, we need to look into this, unless there is an explanation as to why it could it be like this. Student accommodation, the DG is an expert on that. Targets of certification, it has to be 100%. I missed that. I didn't see why, unless there is another. It has to be 100%. We are committing to wiping this thing off by July, and thereafter we do as we normally do. By the way, I must admit that when I decided to say, let me just try and understand why this backlog. I discovered that the problem is not only with the CETA. The problem is also in our own exams department. Part of the problem is that we just hopelessly understaffed. And secondly, our exam system in the TVET colleges needs to be reviewed completely. Every year you have an external exam. Trimester. In fact, part of the problem we are dealing with is that we've got just about an equal number of, if not slightly more, fellows with matric exams. We are doing more numbers than the matric exam. with 900 subjects per annum. Those are the things that we have to be dealing with. Those are some of the systemic issues that we have to be dealing with in the college sector. DG, you can talk about legislation, but let me tell you what perhaps here is a problem. This is the last but one point. We are finishing the national plan for post-school education and training. Now, the dilemma we have, do you do bits and pieces of amendments unless they are really very urgent and very specific? Or must we not finish the plan and then look at the legislation? The plan is going to come out and say, here are the implications for legislation as part of creating a post-school education and training sector. Those are some of the things, by the way, that we will have to be dealing with. The last thing on why is government not paying levies. I must say here that we've had a long-running disagreement with the Treasury. Not that departments themselves, by the way, are willing to pay the levy fully. But Treasury has regarded this thing as double taxation. We are taxing already taxed money because government has got revenue from taxes. So that money, you're taxing it again with the levy. We don't agree. It is a very flawed argument, but that's a battle that we've actually been taking that we must continue to deal with. I think I've answered at least all the questions that would have required my comments. And Honorable Chair will protect me in my absence in case someone says, the minister dodged this question. There's no question I want to dodge. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Minister. You will be protected because we have agreed at the beginning that you have to leave to go to the WF. And we are confident the DG and his team will pick up all the other questions. Yes. They're skilled enough. So yes. They are extreme capable workforce. So, Minister, you may take leave from this meeting. Honourable members, we are to receive the remainder of the questions from the department.
No, thank you, Chair. Let me start with the CET so that we can dispense with this matter. One, if you look at the budget of the Department of Higher Education and Training as a whole, and how then it gets allocated to their respective branches. Universities are allocated 43.9 billion. TVET colleges allocated 9.4 billion. CET allocated 1.9 billion. Now it says it all. It is our intention to create model CET colleges in the country. And we have started quite very small by establishing them as institutions, at least in each and every province. But you need to develop norms and standards in terms of funding, in terms of staffing, and other related competences that are required in setting up an institution. I think we have to accept that to establish them to be ideal in the liking of the nation is going to take a bit of time. So our expectations should actually be aligned as well in respect to the state of affairs in which they are at the present moment. Secondly, the funding opportunities that are available at the present moment. And thirdly, all the necessary processes in respect to governance, norms and standards that would have to be rolled out in the sector at the present moment would have to be taken into consideration, because if we would look into flogging them at the pace they cannot take, they will never take off. So they would require, as much as the need is there, we understand, but it's a sector that requires a bit of patience, because it's in its infancy by every account. Because our adult education and training system was only geared in teaching literacy and numeracy to a certain extent. Now, with the new mandate in respect to the development and training in skills in there, you require a different infrastructure. You require different sort of educators. There are quite a number of things that we need to do. It's going to take a bit of time, notwithstanding the pressures that are there. I thought it's important to clarify that. And all that, for now, it has to be done with only 1.9 billion. Let me go to the infrastructure, because it's coming up quite prominently in our discussions in this meeting. Over 2016-17 and 2017-18, they allocated funds in respect to infrastructure only at universities. It's 6.964 billion, of which around 2.1 billion is dedicated for student accommodation. And it covers quite a number of categories of infrastructure. It's allocated there, but it's not enough. In respect to TVET colleges, there is no budget for infrastructure, no budget item for infrastructure of any sort. So the baseline is zero from the voted fund. Now, if you want student accommodation, where will it come from? That's the biggest question that arises. But with the understanding that the resources in respect to infrastructure won't come from the voted funds only, we then in the department established a task team for infrastructure, which is composed of various individuals with expertise in respect to their areas of functionality. For instance, from the banking industry, from the insurance industry, etc., fund managers. So what we are looking, we are developing a model of sourcing funds from the private sector for investment in infrastructure, especially student accommodation, at both university level as well as private college level. That is the best that we can do at the present moment. Therefore, we cannot put infrastructure targets for private college student accommodation whilst it's not funded from the baseline. What we would be able to roll out would only be out of fundraising initiatives through the mechanism that I've just spoken about. I hope this question of the infrastructure, especially in respect to TVET colleges, is adequately answered in that respect. There is no money, it's zero. We are working on initiatives to raise money from other sources in order to complement for that. Now, let's come to this question of artisan development, employability thereof. We've been getting data from various sources in respect to artisan development and training in the country. We sought then to streamline and to create a credible baseline for artisan development and training in the country. One, there's a study that was conducted in 2005 by Human Sciences Research Council, which was indicating that the employability of artisans that got developed in the country stands around 65%. There is a tracer study currently that we have embarked upon through SACI, the Swiss Africa Cooperation Initiative. Yeah. Which has come up with an indication that 79% of artisans that get developed, they get employment. That would include self-employment. But there are other areas that we're exploring because we want a credible data. So I would agree then with members when they are saying perhaps the baseline in respect to the employability of artisans that get produced in the country, it's a bit low. I submit it to that one. But it's happening on the basis of developing a credible data collection that would really move sort of away from some static and just rough estimates. estimations around this area. And I'm confident that we are actually getting it right in the pipeline. And the second area, the platform that we are using for training of these artisans and development in the country, it's the private sector, a state-owned company, and we have to fund them. For instance, we are funding Transnet to the tune of 175 million rand for artisan development. Next, 25.8 million, ESCOM 173 million, PRASA, the list goes on. We are putting a lot of funding in respect to artisan development and training to state-owned companies, as well as in the private initiatives that have proven to be quite credibly in terms of the development of artisans in the country. But the other thing then, which is also undercutting us, the 5.2 billion that went to finance this must fall was actually taken from National Skills Fund from the budget of artisan development. So therefore, that program, in terms of its acceleration, it had to suffer and slow down, not because of our own doing. But I'm trying to demonstrate here that as a country, there is a continuous mistake that we make of allocating all the resources, or the big chunk of the resources, for universities, and at the expense of TVET colleges and community education and training colleges. Yet, we expect them to do wonders, which is actually impossible in real and practical terms. Now, the other area is this one which relates to the scarce skills. Our approach in this area was an emphasis on career development services, building capacity within the department, and also rolling out that program of career services throughout the entire country, so that the citizens of the country are constantly reminded about the importance of doing math and science, not thinking about it only when you are getting to a university or TVET college, but right at school level. Then the second area, we are publishing every year a list of occupations in high demand, which in the main includes a scarce skills area. The third area, we have mobilized resources almost quite sufficient to cover the need from National Skills Fund as well as from CITAS. That's why if you look at the target in respect to engineering programs, science, as well as accounting, we are overachieving. It's as a result of the amount of funds we have been able to mobilize and dedicated their focus towards scarce skills and skills in high demand, which may not necessarily be only what you refer to as scarce skills in the literal sense. So there are those initiatives in actually trying to address this question. I would allow then my colleagues to come in, and I'll come at the end in respect to other areas. But there was a question about the University of Limpopo, the medical faculty there, and Limpopo as well. Yeah, both. Yeah, two questions. But I think Limpopo arises on the basis that we have an ongoing program in respect to it. I can ask Angela to chip in respect to that and other related perhaps questions at university level.
Thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, Honourable Chair, the University of Limpopo, we've done a feasibility study which we have submitted to National Treasury in terms of the cost implications and to support the expansion of that medical school. Further to that, we have realized that National Treasury has redirected that to our infrastructure and efficiency funding, so we're prioritizing the expansion of that medical school through our existing earmark grant. I just want to bring to your attention, it's not only the University of Limpopo, the need for the expansion of the MBCHB is dire in our country, and to such an extent that three other universities have already came forward to say they are prepared to establish a medical school, which is not the University of Mpumalanga at this moment. So we're talking about University of Johannesburg, Northwest University, and the Nelson Mandela University, of which the minister already approved in principle the establishment of the Nelson Mandela University to open the doors by 2020. I also want to bring to the attention of the honourable members that it's very expensive to establish a medical school. Therefore, we have decided to join forces with the Department of Health to determine the implications if we can establish at once or in a phased approach the medical school to such an extent, because it needs clinical training grants. In other words, sending medical school medical students to the academic hospital. You need to plan for that, and it needs to be funded. So we are busy figuring out or doing a fact-finding analysis in terms of the implications of that. Also, as I've said with the University of Limpopo, the medical school needs an academic hospital. And therefore, in our, we call it the JSEC, it's a Joint Health Science Education Committee, which the Department of Higher Education Training and the Department of Health has a dedicated structure to plan the expansion of the MBCHB. So therefore, we have requested the medical deans not only to look at the expansion, the implications of all these new entities, but also to consider the implications of those students, which is almost 1,000 per year coming back to South Africa from Cuba in 2018, next year by June. So we are busy with a whole preparation program to accommodate that, and that is the immediate challenge in terms of the MBCHB. If you allowed me, Honourable Chair, can I respond to some of the other questions? Okay. In terms of the universities offering lecturing qualifications for TVET, there's only one, yes, but the other universities are in process. And remember, they need to get accreditation and they need to register their qualifications. So they are busy with that process now, and it's taking longer than expected. But the Chief Director for Teacher Education Qualifications are in the process of planning. There was another question in terms of research not properly funded. Research are the issues that are receiving major funding within and through our funding framework, through the research output units. The challenge that we're setting is the kind of bursary monetary value that are being provided to our postgraduate students, which are being funded not through the department but through the DST, which we have a formal MOU with the Department of Science and Technology to see how we can increase that monetary value. And they have made a presentation also, for instance, to the Human Resource Development Council in terms of their challenges of not enough funding for bursaries for our postgraduate students. There was another issue in terms of the curriculum that being outdated, and if there is a budget available, we have developed a new earmark funding grant which look at the capacity development of our universities, which curriculum development and the review curriculum on a national level are part of that. Now that fund will mostly fund the NGAP, as we call it, the new generation of academics, but it has a proportion which is allocated to the review of curriculum. We also use the CHE to do a national review, and I think you've probably heard about the LLB that was reviewed through the CHE, where the funding are then made available for a dedicated task team. The planning for the University of Mpumalanga, it is on the cards, and when we've done in 2013 the whole PQM for UMP, it was on the call to do a health science faculty, which we have to plan together with the Department of Health for the medical school, but also the expansion of the BSc and agricultural. The fact is that our two new universities are not capped in their enrollment. They are funded for a certain number of students which they need to serve, but it's linked to the infrastructure bill. So it's not capped. We need to make sure that when we expand, that the, not only the lecturing halls and the laboratories are already built, but also the student accommodation to accommodate those students to that.
Apologies. The question was, does that include curriculum for the TVET colleges? That was the question.
Okay. Then I apologize, Honorable Chair. No, it does not. It only focuses on the NGAP and the capacity development program. It's only for the university. But if it's, for instance, a question of TVET lecturing staff, then that qualification will immediately be accommodated in that kind of context. But not the NCV and those kind of qualifications. So my apology if I misinterpreted.
No, thanks. The issue that was also raised, you know, especially at the beginning in respect to the equipment which is not enough or relevant to TVET college. No, it's linked to underfunding. We are funding at 54% instead of 80%. Therefore, a cut had to happen, you know, elsewhere. So this question of equipment, protective clothing, and the other related equipment, it gets affected, unfortunately. But we're addressing that and hope allocation of funds will actually be made available. The unfortunate thing is that even the monies that were planned to get in there and assist from National Skills Fund, they had to be diverted. That's the unfortunate situation. But it's receiving our attention. And the question of the curriculum review, I think we've been emphasizing this question of the work that we are doing in reviewing and redesigning the curriculum. And tailor-making it to dual system through studies as well as work that we are doing with quite a number of other agencies, international GIZ from Germany, for instance, and the Switzerland, amongst others, to such an extent that all NATED courses now are being reviewed. There are occupational teams that have been set up, which is composed of us in the profession as well as industry professional bodies. Quite a number of them have been reviewed towards being occupational programs. So we're working on the formality into rolling them out. The NCV as well is under review. So there are policy processes now that are before UMALUSI. We have concluded those processes as a department. Then they are working on them in order to approve those changes in the curriculum, especially of TVET colleges. There's a lot of work which is happening there towards curriculum review. I wanted to assure the honorable members in respect to that.
No, thank you very much, DG, and thanks for covering the curriculum particular area. I think there were a number of questions, particularly around the TVET issues, around the clarification. Now, the NSFAS targets for beneficiaries in TVET has not come down. If we go back to our original five-year plan, we spoke of providing 200,000 beneficiaries every particular year. What the 297 shows is the baseline, what was the outcome. Now, that was an unaudited figure of 298. The audited figure is 235988. But the question is, why are more students doing with the same amount of money? The problem is, I think it is. Well, I don't think, I know that colleges themselves, in order to avoid contestation around a limited funding, split that money out to more students. And I think that the portfolio committee is also aware that the amount for accommodation reduces every year per unit, per student. And they're having tremendous pressures in terms of keeping up with it. Now, it's a practice that it's 200,000 or nothing, or 200,000 can be stretched. And these are practices that colleges have brought about to try to deal with their own particular problems. But the unintended consequences are that what happens is that students are faced with landlords who want an increase in rent, and so it becomes unaffordable. So that's the explanation. The funding we have is for 200,000. So I can't change the target. What I can do is to drive the TVET colleges to try to at least ensure that young people that get those allowances are able to live comfortably and in conducive conditions. In regards to the training of TVET lecturers, I would like to bring honorable members' attention to page 65 of our annual performance plan. And in the slides, it says that one from a baseline of zero universities to one university in 2017-18, going up to 10 universities that will have capacity to provide training for TVET lecturers. And that's on page 65 of our APP. In regards to the question of the construction of the new TVET campuses, I will just ask our finance person to indicate what the supply chain process is, but I must just say that if we read our APP, it says that we will conclude by 31st of March with all the planning and procurement particular processes. Honorable Kanimeng, the issue is which first, budget or target? We started off with a very strange situation where we started off with targets, if we remember originally in our original five-year plan. Targets, and then we tried to find the budget, and we were not achieving those particular targets. And now the revision in the TVET is that we're only putting targets for what we can afford. So there is no dreaming, there is no visioning in regards to the APP. It's based on hard cash and money that's available. On the certification rate, I think I must clarify, and I'm hoping that the chair also notes this, the minister was also a bit... there's a difference between certification rate and the provision of certificates. Certification rate is the number of students that sit to write for a certificate and how many of them achieve a certificate. So we don't get everybody passing to be able to get a certificate. So if you look at the table, it talks of a certification rate. In the providing of certificates, it is 100%, and the target is quite clear, 100% within 3 months. So if you qualify for a certificate, you'll get your certificate within 3 months. But not all students who write for certificates would qualify to get a certificate. So the difference is in the word rate versus certificates.
Honorable Chairperson, just two specific issues. I think, first of all, let me just indicate on the TVET College infrastructure process. The bid evaluation process is still ongoing. especially in relation to determining whether all the plans, etc., are 100% in line with the various areas where the new colleges must be built. And the estimate is that that process should be concluded around June or July 2017. Then in terms of the explanation around the utilization of the various numbers, I think it was slide number 14, 15, or is it, no, it's slide 17. The amounts used for university funding and TVET college funding, as well as for CET colleges, include all the relevant funding for those sectors, which means that in the case of TVET, for example, it includes compensation of employees. It also includes the NSFAS-related funding for TVET colleges. Similarly with universities, it's all the subsidies, the block grants, all ad hoc subsidies, including all the NSFAS allocations. And therefore, those amounts would not be directly linked to what you see in the various programs. I think that were the two most critical areas. Thank you.
Chair, honourable members, there was one question on the HRD strategy. Indeed, the HRD strategy has been reviewed, but what we are saying is that the ongoing monitoring of the implementation of the strategy throughout the post-school education and training system is going to be our priority in this particular period of the strategic plan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. Chairperson, I'm responding to the question on the appointment of an external service provider to capture applications. The question was whether it is a permanent arrangement or it was just a once-off intervention. It was a once-off intervention, and it will be done as and when the need arises, Chairperson, because the ideal situation is not to rely on external service providers, to do the work of the department. But in the APP, we have a plan to address the, the delays in recruitment and selection. And part of the plan will be the development of an e-recruitment system. We're currently working on that. And hopefully, we won't rely on external service providers in the future. Thanks.
Chairperson, I just would like to deal with two questions relating to CET. The question was the distinguishing features between CET and TVET colleges. And our conceptualization of CET provision has got to do with, first, having studied all the 52 districts in the country, we have reason to believe that there are still people who require general education. That is one pillar, which is not peculiar to TVET colleges. And secondly, having studied the unemployment rates throughout the country and the issues relating to articulation from the law-based occupational program, and we have redirected the CET in the long run to focus on part qualifications in order to deal with the areas of skills such as you would find in plumbing, carpentry, and so on and so forth. But there are also some skills which are required by communities which do not necessarily require certification, and those are the skills which we would like the CET colleges to focus on. And the third issue was the DG was spot on the fact that our face, we may be setting our sights too high, and yet the means we have do not allow us to do that. However, those who come from Gauteng, there is a wonderful community learning center called the Don Bosco Educational Project.
it could be a model of what we consider to be a community learning center. And in Northwest, there is the Good Shepherd in the Madidi area, which was supported by the Department of Northwest. And similarly, northeast of Gauteng, the DW in Tati, we have actually identified about 10 of them, which represent the model to which we would like to drive the community education and training provision. Thanks, teaching.
No, thank you very much.
Will come in during the course of the year, because there are processes of amending some legislation. For instance, the NQF amendment bill would actually be coming, central application as well, including NSFAS Act, as perhaps you may be aware that we are working at amending various aspects of that legislation so that they are compatible with the objective of the post-school education and training, but will come to you in respect to that quite shortly. And all the comments that have been made, we are taking them very much in kind, and we are going to work on them. And we are certainly going to improve on those bases. And we are quite delighted that the members of the community, they take trouble and effort to engage at institutional level so that they can have first-hand information about what kind of challenges that are there. It also strengthens us in actual fact in the pulling up our socks in respect to closing those gaps. Chair, from us in the department, thank you very much for affording us the opportunity to engage with you on this.
Thank you very much, DJ. I think you've covered all the questions. Did they miss out on your question?
The one for the... Do we know the on the SCAR skills? When you say what, I think SCAR skills, what is the status in the country? They may not answer now, or do they have a research done? They may answer later, but it was not answered.
No, what we are doing, if I may remind the member, in respect to skill planning in the country, we are establishing skills forecasting mechanisms, which we have been working with Human Sciences Research Council, as well as quite a number of other research groups, so that we can be able to forecast skills needs of the country in the medium to long term. So there is that mechanism that we have actually put in place. Perhaps in that respect, the committee may decide that we may need to come and fully brief you in respect to those processes and what has actually transpired. We are working with the leading economists, amongst other things, Professor Barron, for instance, from UCT, and quite a number of other international bodies, the Human Sciences Research Council, as well as the research capacity within our institutions across the country, including in CETA as well. What is PGCE?
I'm saying, thanks, Chairperson. On slide number 6, you are talking about the teachers you have produced. I'm saying, is that inclusive of PGCE? And whether that issue that we talked about of quality in this education itself has been addressed?
No, certainly. We're producing quality from our system.
on that one we don't fault we don't fault on that one, Chair. No, thank you very much.
Well done, there, Juju.
Okay, honourable members, may we thank the department for now. The department, of course, is welcome to come and listen to the remainder of the points that we have on the agenda. We think it will be quite important. But honourable members, let's break for lunch, and we will then come back here at 2 o'clock. I'll come back here at 2 o'clock, then 2 o'clock or about 2. But thank you for now, honourable.